We are in Romans chapter 1. If I could get you to open your Bibles there with me today, we'll start where we were last week. And we did an introduction for you last Sunday of this message that I am entitling, A Faith That Works. A Faith That Works. You hear a lot of people say from time to time, I'm asking God, I'm trying to believe God, but nothing is happening. It doesn't seem to be working. Why isn't it working for me, Pastor? Well, I think there are some reasons why a lot of times things are not working the way we think they ought to, and hopefully maybe we can answer some of those questions for us today. Why is it that what we hope is faith is not really working and producing the results that the Bible said faith will produce, as we talked about it last week? The Bible says that if we will believe God, we'll see the glory of the Lord. Jesus said, when anything that you ask for in faith believing, you will receive. You know, I'd like to think that my prayer life is batting 1,000, but it's not. And I think there are a lot of reasons as to why not, but I think, quite frankly, a lack of faith is one of the many reasons for sometimes the things of God not coming to pass in my life. So I want to share a message with you, and the message that I'm sharing with you last week, this week, maybe even next week as well, it's a message that just means an awful lot to me. It's a message that really changed my life as far as living and trusting God in the day-to-dayness of life. I know that prior to hearing the message of faith, I had heard that as human beings, we all need to get saved. We need Jesus or we're going to hell. You don't want to go to hell, you want to go to heaven, you need Jesus to be born again. And thank God for that. That's a good message. I thank God for that. But it wasn't until I began to hear about living by faith, and I meant to read the scripture. Let me do it for you. Romans chapter 1, verse 17, just this one verse of scripture. Well, verse 16 too. Romans 1, verse 16 and 17, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is... Let me explain why Paul said that, by the way. I am not ashamed of the gospel. The word gospel literally means good news, okay? And the good news of Jesus is that we no longer have to try to work to please God to find salvation, but rather, by simple faith, Jesus will save us and make us children of God, okay? Now, that's a foreign thought to most people today, not only in Paul's day, where the Jews thought the whole purpose of the law that God had given to them was all the do's and don'ts of the law is you got to do all these do's and don't all the don'ts so that you're pleasing to God and you can be a child of God. And even in our world today, a lot of people still think today that heaven, whether you go to heaven tonight or not, is dependent upon whether or not the scales are tilted in your favor where works are concerned. If you've done more good works than bad works, then you can get in. Paul says that's not at all the way God judges. That's not at all the way God works. That's not at all the way God saves. He tells us that God works on the simple plan of faith in His Son. Do you believe or not? Do you really trust Christ as your Lord and Savior? And so what seemed foolish, in fact, he would say in Corinthians, he said, this is foolish to so many people. And yet it's the way of God. Do you understand that God planned this before creation? The Bible tells us, and this is predestination, okay? The Bible says that prior to the creation of anything, that God predetermined the man that he was about to create who would fall into sin. God predetermined that man could come back to him if he believed in his son. Just that simple. Just that simple. Predestination, brothers and sisters, is not about who gets saved. It's about how you get saved. Okay? It's about how you get saved. It's by believing in Jesus. And so he says, I'm not ashamed of this. You think it's foolishness, but I'm not ashamed of this because it's the power of God that'll save you. It's the power of God for everyone who believes, to the Jew first and to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous man shall live by faith. And we pointed out last week that while most of us will say we have faith, the question I want you to answer is, are you living by faith? Because those are two different things. And the scripture says we're supposed to live by faith. And it was that revelation to me that I'm to live by faith that really began to change. Well, it changed the way I live my life day to day. And it changed what I would begin to experience from God as a result of my living that way. And the things that God would do, the prayers that God would answer, and those kinds of things in my life. I shared with you last week how many people today. And by the way, I shared this last week. I said that there are a lot of people today in the world that have what I call a que sera theology. In other words, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. There's nothing you can do about it. Nothing you can say about it. You have no choice. It's just out there. And that's the way it is. And somebody told me after church, it kind of shook them a little bit. Because they had never heard that phrase before, a que sera, whatever will be. They never heard that phrase before. Until the week prior to my message, somebody else had shared the very same phrase with them, a que sera theology. What is that? Well, it's the belief that whatever's going to happen is going to happen, and there's nothing you can do about it, and you just have to. In fact, I read a quote by a very, very popular preacher today who has that type of theology. And he makes this statement. He says, we accept the hand that we're dealt because we know the dealer. And I understand that. I appreciate that perspective of trusting God. But the statement makes me wonder if the person who said it even believes the devil even exists or not. Because the Bible tells me that there is an enemy who wants to steal, kill, and destroy, that we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers of spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. And all of these kinds of things are going on. And when I read the Bible, I don't see a list of people who said, well, this is the hand that I dealt. I just have to live with it. Aren't you glad I am that Bartimaeus didn't decide, well, this blindness is just the hand I've been dealt. I have to live with it. No, he came to Jesus to do something about the hand that he was dealt. The woman with the issue of blood. She went everywhere, spent all she had, no doctor could help her. She didn't say, well, I guess this is just the hand I've dealt, I'll have to live with it. No, she came to Jesus in faith, and Jesus did something about the hand that she was dealt. The point is, brother and sister, that when I read the scripture, I see a lot of people who made a lot of choices, some good, some bad, but when they made good choices to follow God, God stood up, and God did things on their behalf. Blessings came to pass, and things were changed. The que sera, let me challenge you on it. The que sera theology is a theology that is rooted in a truth that God is sovereign. You ever heard that word before? God is sovereign. That means that God is supreme. There's no one greater than he is, no one like who he is. He submits to nobody. Nobody tells him what to do. God is God. But the conclusion for so many people who understand sovereignty in that light is, therefore, everything that happens in your life is from God. And there's nothing you can do about it. Well, I challenge that perception based on a couple of things. I see in the Bible where God gives people choice. From the very beginning. From the very beginning, the very first two people in the Garden of Eden, he gave those people a choice. He put a tree in the garden. And he said, you know, you get a choice. I'm telling you not to eat of that tree. Because if you do, it's going to kill you. But the choice is yours. And we all know the choice they made. They made the wrong choice. Moses says to the children of Israel, Deuteronomy verse 30 in there. He says, see that I have set before you today life and death, the blessing and the curse. Therefore, choose life. He says life is a test, and you need to make a choice. And I'm going to cheat for you. I'm going to give you the answer. Choose life. Choose life. Joshua takes the children into the promised land, at the end of the book of Joshua. Joshua says, choose this day who you're going to serve. They had a choice to make. You and I have a choice to make. He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But the whole Bible is filled with choices that people made. Choices to believe or not to believe. They came to the border of the promised land. They looked into the promised land. They saw giants in the promised land. God said, I'm bigger than the giants. Israel said, we're not sure. We just can't believe that. And as a result of making that choice, they couldn't go into the promised land. They made a choice. The Bible says, whosoever believes will be saved. We have a choice. He didn't say, whosoever God chooses will be saved. He said, whosoever believes. We have a choice. And so we all have choices. God has given free will. Understand, God gives free will. It is the gift of His sovereignty. Okay? Nobody took it from Him. Nobody demanded it of Him. But God freely gave humanity the right to choose. We have a free will. And let me tell you something else. When we think of sovereignty, we think that the sovereignty of God means that there is nothing God can't do. May I challenge that on you today? Will it be all right? Look at Titus, chapter 1, way back over toward the end of your New Testament. God is sovereign, therefore there's nothing He can't do. I challenge that. Titus chapter 1, let's just start in verse 1. Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of those chosen of God, the knowledge of the truth, which is according to godliness, in the hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie. God cannot lie. There's something God can't do? You better believe it is. God cannot lie. Promised long ages ago. God cannot lie. It means we know that His word is true. Numbers would tell us, back over in the book of Numbers, it would tell us that God, I like the way it puts it, God is not a man that He should lie. God's not like us. He doesn't lie. When God gives His word, the psalmist said, forever, O Lord, Your word is settled in heaven. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of God will endure forever. God's word is settled. It is unchangeable. It is not passing away. God cannot lie. What God says is true. It's why we can depend on Him. It's why we can trust in Him. It's why we can believe in Him. He's not like us. I've got friends, they tell me they're going to do something, they never show up. I know you don't have any friends like that, but I do. Some of my friends will tell me stuff and just never do it. I had a precious, just the sweetest guy, a good guy, loved him, loved hanging out with him, loved doing stuff with him. But he was always promising stuff and never doing it. Would you help us with this? Yeah, oh yeah, I'll be there. Never show up. God gives His word, and then He keeps His word. Look over at, just back up. You're there in Titus. Back up about a page in 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm sorry, I'll give you the wrong chapter. It's chapter 2. Verse 11, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. It is a trustworthy statement or a true word. If we died with him, we will also live with him. Speaking of Jesus. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. Why? Because he cannot deny himself. God can't deny himself. If God says something is going to be a certain way, then that's the way it's going to be. Otherwise, God's a liar. And God's not a liar. Listen. I'll give you an example. God cannot save a human being based on their goodness. He cannot. Why? Because he said he would not. He makes it clear salvation is not by works, it's by faith. And therefore he cannot save a man because he's a good man, but only because he's a believing man. If he saves a man because he's good, then he's lied to us all. See? So here's what I'm telling you today, guys. God is sovereign. God is the Almighty. Nobody like him. Nobody tells him what to do. He submits to no one. But God, in his sovereignty, has chosen to confine himself to the boundaries of his own word. What he says he will do, he will do. What he says he won't do, he won't do. Otherwise, he's a liar. And God cannot lie, and he cannot deny himself. So we're looking at these things, and we're looking at these opportunities, and we're looking at choice, and we're seeing the difference that faith makes. There's a story in 2 Chronicles about a man who made a choice. He made a wrong choice. The king, his king in Israel, his name was Asa. And Asa paid a neighboring king protection money. What do you call that when you pay somebody to protect you? Is there a term for that? Some of you guys that are, some of you criminals in here, do you know what? No. When you pay somebody to protect you. And there was a, he was fearful of some of his other nations around him. And so he paid this pagan king who really wasn't a friend of his, but he was a mighty king. And so he paid him. He said, I'm going to pay you. You take care of us. And so a prophet comes to King Asa and he says, dude, why did you do that? Don't you know that God is enough? Don't you know that God just wants you to trust in him and he will take care of you? He makes this statement. I want you to hear it. 2 Chronicles 16 verse 9 says this. For the eyes of the Lord roam to and fro throughout the earth, looking for someone to whom he can show himself strong. Looking for those whose heart is completely his. He says, King, you shouldn't have paid money to this guy to protect you. God wants to protect you. God is looking for somebody to do miracles for. God is looking for somebody to take care of. God is just looking for somebody that he can bless. What's he looking for? He's looking for faith. He's looking for faith. He's looking for people who will really believe him. Take him at his word. And because you take him at his word, do what he says to do. Because quite frankly, that's simply what faith is. Faith is believing the word of God and being so convicted of it in your heart that you know it's true. You know what God promised he'll do. And whatever stipulation God puts on that promise, you do willingly and gladly because you know God is going to do his part and God is going to come through. That's faith. That's faith. And that's what it means to live by faith. There are a lot of substitutes out there. There are a lot of things out there that pretend to be faith, that are not really faith. I want to know what the real deal is. I grew up. I shared with you last week. I grew up and grew through the faith movement, if you will, of the teachings of the 80s. A lot of strange stuff in there, but there were some root principles that were true about God and what God does for people who really believe. We have to know what real faith is. I want the kind of faith that opens Bartimaeus' eyes. I want the kind of faith that stopped that woman's bleeding disorder. I want the kind of faith that parts the Red Sea for Moses or calls the walls around a city to fall like they did for Joshua at Jericho. I want the kind of faith that Paul had, that even when he was in prison, all he could do was praise God. I want the kind of faith that Peter had, that made Peter willing to lay down his life, believing in a better future than his life in this world. I want that kind of faith. I want the real Bible faith that makes a difference in my heart today, that helps me rejoice even through hard times, that God willing changes the circumstances of my life if God sees and wills that they need to be changed. I want the kind of faith that taps into the power of God that makes me a different me for the glory of God. I want the real thing. There's a lot of imitations out there. There's a lot of things that pretend to be faith out there, and they're really not. I shared with you last week how a positive mental attitude, it's a good thing, don't misunderstand, but just being positive doesn't mean you have faith. It's much closely aligned to hope than it is to faith. And it's a good thing. Christians ought to be the most positive people in the world. Because we know our God, and the Bible says God is for us. And the scripture says God is for us. God is with us. Why are we afraid of anything? We shouldn't be. We don't have to be. Because God is who He is. Faith is not simply a knowledge of scriptures. It's good to know the Bible. But just because we know the Bible doesn't mean we believe what we read. There are a lot of guys that can quote a whole lot of Bible. In fact, there are atheists that probably know more Bible than most of us. Just because you know the Bible doesn't mean you believe the Bible. It's important to know the Bible. But it's also important that we believe what we know. Faith is not denial. Faith in God is not denial of facts. There's a whole... Well, I guess we would call them a cult. Known as the Christian Science. You ever heard of those folks? And God bless them. There's some good stuff there. But I don't think the Jesus we serve is the same Jesus. And their belief is that you change your circumstances in life by convincing yourself in your mind that what you're looking at is not real. And if you can convince yourself in your mind, it will change what is real. We call it mind over matter. Okay? Faith is not mind over matter. Faith is God over matter. Okay? Faith is God is greater than matter. Do you understand that truth is higher than facts? Let's go back to those Israelites, okay? They looked into the promised land. They saw the giants that were in the land. They said, they're bigger than we are. That was a fact. But there's a higher fact, a greater truth. And that's that God is bigger than those giants. Doesn't matter what the giants look like. God is bigger than those giants. Doesn't matter what obstacles you might be facing in your life today. It may be a fact that you've got, all hell has broken out in your life, and on everywhere you turn, think things are going bad. That might be a fact. But can I tell you today that God is bigger than every one of those facts that you're looking at? And the truth is, if we will trust Him in those things, God can turn those things around. God can give us victory. God can glorify Himself. God can change circumstances as He wills. Denial is not faith. Here's one. Look over at James chapter 2 real quickly. Gosh, my time is running out. James chapter 2. I shared with you earlier that I think a lot of times when I'm not receiving the answers that I'm looking for, there are times when it's because my faith is weak. It's because of unbelief. We read in James chapter 1 last week, we must ask in faith. Because if we don't ask in faith, we have no right to expect God to do anything for us. And sometimes we just struggle to get to that place of faith, and we have to rely on God's word. In James chapter 2, I'll read a verse for you in just a second. A lot of times if I suggest to anybody else, well, you know, maybe we're just struggling to find faith here. And a lot of times people get offended by that. I'm not real sure why. Didn't mean to offend anybody when I said that. How many of you know that Jesus told people often, hey, things are not happening because you don't believe? He wasn't trying to condemn them. He was just trying to impart truth to them and change things in them. You're not believing, you need to believe. And God says to me, Ken, you're not believing, you need to believe. I can get offended by that if I want to, but that's not going to do me any good. What I need to do is just start believing. See. But there are times, sometimes people, you hear this response, well, I believe in God. That's not the issue. The issue is, do you believe that God is going to do what you need done? Not questioning your belief in the existence of God. Biblical faith is more than just believing in the existence of God. Look at James chapter 2, verse 19. Verses 14 through 26 are all about faith in James 2. We may look at them later, but just for today, verse 19. James says, you believe that God is one, or your New King James will probably say, you believe that there is one God. And then he goes on to say, you do well. Can I just say to you that that is sarcasm? Okay? It's mockery. Because look at what he says next. The demons also believe and shudder. You believe there's a God? You believe in the existence of God? Goody, goody. The devil believes the same thing. If that's as far as your faith goes, then you have the faith of the devil. See? No, believe, look up back at Hebrews. Back up one book in your Bible, just a couple of chapters to Hebrews chapter 11. Here is Bible faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the assurance. Hello. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith is the assurance. Faith is being absolutely sure that the thing that you can't see really is there. Okay? But now watch. Let's keep looking. Look down at verse 6. It's a conviction. It's an inner conviction, an assurance in your heart. It's being convinced. Somebody put it this way. Faith is in your heart. You know that you know that you know. That's what you know. You just know. See, that's faith. But look at verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God, watch his faith, must believe that he is. That's where it starts. And there's an and in there. Okay? Faith goes further than that. And that he is a rewarder of those who, and other translations say, diligently seek him. Faith believes more than just in the existence of God. Faith believes that God is real and desires to be active in our lives, and that when we seek after Him and we find His will and we believe what He's saying, He will do His will in our lives. That, brother and sister, is Bible faith. It goes more than just believing in the existence of the Lord. Probably the best way for me to illustrate what I'm trying to say to you today in so many words is just to give you some examples of what I'm talking about. And there's so many, I'm not sure where to start. I've got a lot to say and a little time to say it. Faith begins with God. It doesn't begin with us. Faith is not something that we can work up on our own. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Bible says in Hebrews 12 and verse 2 that Jesus is the author of our faith. In other words, faith is initiated by God. It starts with Him. It doesn't start with us. It starts with Him when He speaks to us. The word that He speaks will bring faith to our heart if we will make the decision to receive what He's saying in our hearts. November of 1987, I'm praying about what's going to happen with the rest of my life. I'm not sure what's going to happen, if anything. And praying before the Lord and asking what God wants me to do with my life. And I'm convinced now what I heard was the voice of God. I felt a strong impression in my heart, three simple words: Victory Christian Fellowship. Now, God didn't say, I want you to go build a church, I want you to go start a church, but I knew what He was saying was, this is your new beginning place. And you're going to call it Victory Christian Fellowship. God spoke to me. I believed what He said. I told other people what God said to me. And God brought it to pass. God did this. God did this. The land that we are sitting on here, we own 30 acres of land. God did this. Don't have the time to tell you that whole story. We built this building. I believed in my heart as we were praying about it. I believed in my heart. God said, build a church, do it by cash. Don't borrow any money. So I said, we're going to build a church and we're going to pay cash for it. We're not going to borrow any money. And people thought I was nuts. But you know what? God said it and I believed it. I said it and God did it. And we built this church. We bought the land. We built the church. We built the houses, the pavilion. We paid cash for it all. God did that. God did that. The victory houses that we've got over there. You've heard the story about the victory houses years ago. We used to pay people money to stay in motels because they had no place to go when they had a house fire. And I took money to some people down on 460 out beyond New London one Sunday afternoon. Guy and his family living in a motel room, no place to go. I left that motel and I said, God, there ought to be something somewhere where a family can go and stay together. We've got the Y, we've got the Salvation Army, individuals have got friends. People can go and stay somewhere when they're in trouble. But families need a place where they can go and be a family through the process of recovery. And I'm driving down the highway and I said, God, there needs to be a place. And I know God spoke to my heart and He said, you build it. You build it. So we put it on the site plan when we're going before the city to have this building built. Jim and I served as the general contractors for the construction of this church building. And so you're walking by faith when you come in here every time you walk in this building. We built this building. We raised the money. We raised the money step by step. We did the building. We put it, all this construction. We hired the general contractors and all those kinds of things. God brought them to us one at a time. The money was there when the contractors were there ready to do that. It was all there when it was needed. We got it built after a couple of years. I was burnt. I was done with. I knew there was Victory House on the horizon, but I didn't care. You know, at that point, I was willing to pay the motel bills rather than start a construction project all over again. And about a year or so after we finished construction here. Jim had already developed a relationship with the fire department. He's talking to the guys at the fire department one day, and he happens to mention our desire to build a house on our land. Guys at the fire department said, man, we wanted to do that for years. We've wanted to build a place where we could send families after we go to their house and they can't live in their house anymore, and we could send the family to a house where they'd have a place to stay. We've wanted to do that for years. We just don't have the land. Jim said, we got the land, we just don't have the workers. They said, we got the workers, let's get together. Make a long story a little longer, the fire department teamed up with us. The police department teamed up with us. Habitat for Humanity teamed up with us. Volunteers around the city teamed up with us. At that time, I received a check in the mail from a friend of this ministry, lives in another city, had no idea what we were planning, what we were doing, anything else. I received a check in the mail for $30,000. Now we have the land, we've got the workers, we've got some money, we can get something done. People began to volunteer, all kinds of stuff, materials. Wooldridge Heating and Cooling, they donated all of the heating and air conditioning in both of those houses over there, donated the material, donated the labor, donated everything. Put it in there. Those little houses are probably worth $120,000 a piece sitting over there. I doubt we've got more than $50,000 cash in either one of them. It was all donated. God just brought it in. And when God began to bring all these things in, my heart just was revived and faith came. It came from God. I didn't work it up. I had nothing left to work up. I was burnt. I had nothing left to work up. And God began to speak and God began to move. We talked about our daughter, believing God for a daughter. Becky says she wants a daughter. So we went to God and we asked God if he would give it. We didn't tell God. Brother and sister, please hear this. Faith is not telling God what to do and then expecting him to do it for you. God's not your servant. We're his servants. But we went to God and we said, God, would you do this? We'd like a daughter. And we came to the place where we believed in our heart. God said yes. And we believed that yes. God gave us a daughter. Brother and sister, this is the way faith works. It starts with God. He initiates it when he speaks to us. That book you've got in your lap, it's the word of God. And when God speaks to us out of that word, or when God speaks to us by his spirit, that's the foundation for faith. That's where faith begins. God speaks it. We believe it. Then we speak it. And God does it. It starts with God, not with us. We don't command God. He commands us. But listen, when God speaks to you about something and you know it's the word of God, you can't help but speak it yourself because you know it's the word of God. Do you know that's the way that Liberty University, it's why we have a Christian university over here called Liberty University. God spoke to a man's heart 60 years ago. Said, I want you to build the largest Christian university in the world. Everybody around here, me included, thought he was nuts. The skinny Baptist preacher is going to have the biggest university in the world in Lynchburg, Virginia. Are you kidding? Ain't nothing big in Lynchburg, Virginia. He said, we're going to build a Christian university. We're going to be the largest university in the world. We're going to have a football team. And one day, Notre Dame is going to come to Lynchburg. I said, man, he is off his rocker. I actually believe, if God gives me a normal life, I will see Notre Dame. I really do. And I thought the man was nuts. But you know what? He believed so strongly in his heart what God was speaking to him. He was willing to say it no matter what anybody thought about him. God said it, He believed it. He said it. God did it. That's the way faith works. So the key, brother and sister, and I have to stop right here. The key is for you and I to learn how to hear from God and hear His voice and believe when He speaks to us, because that's where faith is going to begin. When God speaks to us, He can turn anything around if we will just believe what He says to us. He speaks it, we believe it. If we're so convinced of it that it's true, that we've heard from God, we speak it. God will do it. Let's stand together. I didn't quite make it through, so there will be a part three. Next Sunday. Each one of us has to learn to hear God for ourselves. And each one of us has to learn to recognize that voice and not suppose or presume that just because God is doing something one way in one person's life, He's going to do the same thing the same way in our life. I think one of the awesome things about Jesus is the fact that most of the miracles that He did them all different, so that nobody could figure out a formula. Oh, I just have to say that too, brother and sister. Faith is not a formula. Faith is not a formula by which you manipulate God to do your will. That's not faith. That's just dumb. Okay? That's foolishness. Okay? But when we hear God, His word becomes the foundation of faith. And when we believe what God has said to us, and whatever God is saying, God can do. And God can change the circumstances of our life, be it His will. And there's nothing God can't do. Father, thank You today for reminding us of how awesome You are. You are the sovereign, the creator of heaven and earth, the God of all gods. There's none like You. There's none that orders You. There's none to whom You submit. You are God. And we are so grateful today that You loved us so much, that You sent Your Son to redeem us so that we could be Yours. Thank You for that, God. I pray today that every person in this little church today, I pray that every person in this church has heard the voice of the Holy Spirit say to them, you need to repent of your sins and you need to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I pray that we've all heard that voice. And I pray that we've all responded to it by saying, Lord Jesus, I believe You're the resurrected Son of God. Forgive my sins. Come into my life and save my soul. For Your word tells us, Father, if we confess with our mouths, Jesus is Lord, believing in our heart that You've raised Him from the dead, we will be saved. I pray, Father, we've all had that faith experience where You have revealed Jesus to us. We have confessed Him in faith, and You have saved us as a result. And if there's one here today who has never done that, I pray that today would be their day of salvation. We thank You that Jesus is Lord. He is the Savior of all of the world. The only Savior. And we thank You that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. No ifs, ands, or buts. It will happen. Because You said so. And we believe Your word is true. So, Father, we thank you for reminding us today of the importance of faith and the importance of not just having it, but the importance of living by it. And all of the possibilities that lay before us if we will make the decision to have a living faith, to live by faith in you every day, looking to you, trusting in you, following after you, seeking you, and obeying you when you speak to our heart. Let it be so, Father, in all of our lives for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. May your hand of blessing rest upon the people in this church room today. May they know the presence of the Lord by the power of the Holy Spirit. May they know peace, rest for their soul, hope for the future, joy for this life. May they know the assurance of your love for their heart today. May they know that they are forgiven, that they are redeemed, and they are received by a loving God. Thank you, Father, for reminding us of these things, working your will more deeply into our life. We give you thanks for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's sing together. And we'll be dismissed. Let us know if you've made a decision for Jesus or if we can pray with you about anything in your life, anything that God can do for you. We'll pray with you about it. See us after the service this morning. Let's sing together as we're dismissed. In your presence, there is peace. In your presence, there is joy. I will linger, I will stay in your presence day by day. Till your likeness may be seen in me. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much for being with us today. Have a great day in the Lord, and let us know if we can do anything to help you in your spiritual journey. God bless you, dear.
Thank you.